Father, I want to thank you for this moment, but I want it to be yours, not mine. And I showed these slides, and just like Emma came up here to talk about the ladies that helped on the very same day for the yard sale, we are blessed with wonderful people. We thank you, Lord, for gifting our church. But now, Lord, let us hear Jesus. Let us see Jesus, not me, not anybody else. So when we go from here, we'll be more like you and less like us. Pour out your Spirit to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. I occasionally refer to this quote, and I want to start the sermon with this quote. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Great changes will take place in our world. This is the area in Boston that 1 week ago, by a government declaration, was completely shut down, affecting 1 million people. It included a police search door to door on foot, and all services of Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority were suspended. The residents were asked to call 911 if anyone other than the police came to the door. All Boston public school activities were canceled. All city employees were to stay at home. Trial court officials in Cambridge, Brighton, Newton, and Wortham were closed. Jurors were told to stay home. There was no vehicular traffic allowed, and a no-fly zone was declared over the Watertown area by the Federal Aviation Administration. All Amtrak service came in to and departing Boston South Station was delayed. Megabus were suspended in the trips between Boston and New York. And folks, they told the people to stay home, remain behind your doors, and you cannot go out and travel. And door by door, stormtroopers came to houses. And when they did, you had to get out so they could search your house. And Jenny, I thought they'd be wearing their dirty boots in my house. Now, I am not questioning their motives under the circumstances, but I am telling you great changes are taking place in our freedoms, folks. And if you're not catching the signs and warnings that God has given us that the last days are here, you better wake up. Because when it's expedient, they are going to go door to door. Only they won't be looking for bombing suspects. They'll be looking for those who don't agree with their theology. And so I want to tell you today, there's somebody knocking at your door. And the question we're going to answer today is, why is he knocking? And the first reason I present to you is because Jesus doesn't force his way in. And so take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Genesis, the very third chapter, and let's take a look at this. Why is Jesus knocking at the door? Because he will not force his way in. By the way, how do you like that slide? I called Joe Pomerazzo and said, find a SWAT team guy breaking down a door and put Jesus' head on him. See, if you didn't catch that, that's neck cool. Folks, he doesn't break down the door. Take a look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of the trees of the garden?'" And then a while later he said, "You will not surely die." Okay, let's go over to Revelation 13. We'll see how this relates in a second. Revelation 13, verse 2. Revelation 13, verse 2. Now, I'm going to pick and choose in Revelation 13. I'm going to believe that you already understand who the players are here. And if you don't, then you need to come to this church because we're going to tell you who the players are in the right setting, the right place, and the right time. Okay? Look what verse 2 says. "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority." So here are two players. Right away, in the heart of the book of Revelation, we are introduced to a symbol called the beast. And we are told the beast gets his authority and power and throne from who? And Revelation 12 tells us who's the dragon? Satan. Now, let's go now to verse 11 of chapter 13. "And then I saw a" what? Louder. "Another beast." I want to make sure you're awake here. "Coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound is healed. He performed great signs, so that he even made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and did what? To deceive those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he made, and he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast whose deadly wound was healed with the sword, who was wounded by the sword and lived." And then skip to verse 14. I guess that's where we were, wasn't it? "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be" what? Killed. The book of Revelation is about what period of time in Earth's history? Last days. Go door to door. Highly armed. Looking for specific persons. Jesus does not force his way into the door. Satan forces his way into the door. Satan is the one that takes all of your freedoms away, and he uses earthly powers. For you see, he has a beast and he has an image. And he is the one that is in control of the two. There are three characters introduced here in Revelation 13. And I pray that you already know who these characters are. Because folks, we just read the final movements will be rapid, that great changes will take place, and the forces of evil are marshaling even as we're going. Might even be saying, you know what, they're trying to find a bomber. Man, I hope that bomber... So whatever you want to do to me, go ahead, just find that bomber. But we're going to remove the bomber And they're going to use the same tactics, folks. Jesus does not force his way in, but Satan uses deception, force, and miracles. So why is Jesus knocking on the door? Number one, because he does not force his way in. Number two, the door is locked on the inside. Did you know that? You got that? All right, let's look at Genesis 3, 8 through 13. See, the first reason he's knocking is because he doesn't force his way in. The second reason is because the door is locked on the inside. So even if he had the desire to come in, he would have to wait till it was unlocked. Genesis 3, 8 through 13. Notice what it says here. You all know this story. This is where the first grandparent watched his grandchildren, one kill another. By the way, who is that grandparent? It was God. That's right. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the Lord called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I had commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave me, she made me eat." And the Lord said to that woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The serpent, he fooled me." And so God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast." The door is locked on the inside because sin separates us from God. Do you understand that? And he is knocking because he's hoping we will open the door. But he will not force his way in there. And can you imagine in the Garden of Eden, in which God created this beautiful piece of real estate and gave it to Adam and Eve and gave them dominion and said, "This is now yours from my hand." Just one thing in this vast, gigantic forest of fruit trees and glorious decorative trees and so forth and so on. There's just one here that I don't want you to touch. You could consider it my tree. And what did they do? They touched that one tree out of the billions of trees that existed in the Garden of Eden. By the way, folks, I can't hesitate to say this. That represents the tithe. God says to us, "A tenth of what you make is mine. No matter what you think or how you feel, it's mine." And he gives you a choice. You don't have to return it to him. You can keep it. But if you keep it, you're doing what Adam and Eve did in the garden. You're touching the one tree he told you to leave alone. And if you give it, you will be blessed. By the way, you don't give it because you want to be blessed. You give it because Jesus gave his life. And now all he asks us to do is return a tenth. But I got off the sermon. I apologize. The door is locked on the inside. Does anybody know what Psalms 51 is all about? Come on, Bible. What's Psalms 51 all about? David's penitential psalm. Correct? David acknowledges publicly to his kingdom that he sinned. And do you know what verse 5 says of Daniel? Of David? Of Psalms 51? Take a look at Psalms 51, verse 5. I want you to understand this concept, and then you'll understand that the door is locked on the inside. It is not locked on the outside. Here's what David said in his penitential prayer, in which he was seeking forgiveness for adultery and murder that he committed. And he said, "Behold, I was brought forth in what? In iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." We are born sinners. We are not born on Jesus' side. We are actually born on Satan's side. And therefore, the door is locked on the inside and not on the outside. And that's why Isaiah 59:2 says, read it with me, would you? "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that you will not hear. Therefore he sent his son Jesus so that we could be brought back to God and we would not remain separated from him." And so why is Jesus knocking on the door? Number one is he won't force his way in. And number two is the door is locked on the inside. And finally, why is he knocking at the door? Duh! He wants to come in. Now, let's stop just for a second. And by the way, I thought of this. I thought of putting a slide up there plastered with all the faces of the famous, beautiful people that we all know about, and which I feel sometimes Christian young people wish they were like. But in order to get there, they had to compromise every single conscience that they had, every principle, and show you and say, surely God would want to be with them, but why would he want to be with me? Do you have an answer to that question? See, I don't know. Maybe you're cool. And you look in the mirror when you have no clothes on, like occasionally I do, and I don't like what I see. Now, you may look in the mirror and think you're really great. If you are, I'm going to pray for you. Because we aren't great. We're not great on the inside. It doesn't matter what we do to the outside. Jesus wants to come in and be with us because only he loves unconditionally. Only he loves completely. And only he submitted himself and subjected himself to the most heinous, cruel treatment in order to gain our salvation. And it is by those actions of his that break our heart and cause us to get up and open the door. Because he wants to come in. In fact, look what it says. Let's read this together. Well, maybe you... Can you see that? You should have it memorized. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." The highest compliment a person can pay you is if he comes and eats with you. Jesus said. And by the way, isn't it interesting? It says, "I stand at the door and knock." And did you catch the little nuance there? "I stand at the door and knock, but if anybody hear my voice..." Hey, who's in there? I want to come in, open the door. It's me, Jesus. By the way, he wouldn't say who's in there. Jenny, it's me, Jesus. Open the door, Jenny. I want to see you and Peter. Jenny looks at me and says, man, we better get this junk out of here quick. We don't want Jesus to see this stuff. But go answer the door. Go answer the door. Well, maybe we shouldn't. We got to clean up. Why is he knocking? He's knocking because he wants to come in. It's just plain and simple as that. Folks, it's time to let him in. You know, when I'm done here, I'm going to have a call. During our closing hymn, I'm going to invite anybody who wants to say yes to Jesus, come in, come forward. Don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. But let's act out our emotions. Let's make a stand for Jesus, even if you're struggling. Because every step we take forward towards Jesus, He'll reinforce your confidence and your strength and your ability, because Satan has a hold of us that is tight and furious. If you hear my voice, open that door. I want to spend time with you. I want to eat with you. I didn't come to make a collection and walk away with some money. I came to get to know you better. By the way, nobody knows us like Jesus. And so he knocks on the door. Number one, I thought you'd like this picture. He knocks on the door. Truly, what kind of junk is in the way of getting to the knob, getting to the lock? Number one, he's knocking because he desires admittance. And number two, he's knocking because he respects your right to deny him. But he's hoping that you won't, because he loves you. It's time to open the door of your heart. And yes, you've got unanswered questions. I've got unanswered questions. I've got struggles and battles. You may have struggles and battles. But by the occurrences that are happening around us, it is no longer time to delay the invitation. So why is Jesus knocking? Because he wants to come in. A picture of the Lord Jesus knocking at the door of a heart was taken one day by a parishioner visitor to a house where a father and mother lived with their small son. Some impulse made the mother pin the picture up in their little kitchen, and when the small boy came from school, he was very interested in the picture. His mother was too busy with dinner to answer his questions, but presently father came from work. Who is the man, Daddy? And why is he knocking on the door? The little fellow asked again and again and again. The father tried to ignore the question, but it was asked again and again with great persistence. And at last he replied that it was the Lord Jesus knocking at the door. And the little boy, with great concern on his face, looked straight in Daddy's eyes and say, why then don't they let him in? Dinner came just then, and the father managed to change the subject. But again and again during the days which followed, the little lad asked the same question, why don't they let him in? And the question began to ring in the father's ears until at last one day he fell on his knees and he cried, Lord Jesus, It's the door of my heart at which you're knocking. Please forgive me for keeping you waiting for so many years. The door is open. Oh, come right in and take possession. May that be the response of each and every person here today. Father, I want to thank you for this moment and this invitation as we see circumstances in our free country beginning to disappear in light of terrorism and other threats. And I pray, Father, that to a person here today, you will be invited in. And those who come forward as we sing the closing hymn, Lord, will respond because they desire to be closer to you. And so you can be and use us and them to be a blessing of other people who need to know the lateness of the hour. So pour out your Spirit, speak to hearts and minds, Lord, and give us the courage to respond, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.